The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today using promo code NBASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Plus, the NFL draft is coming up, and old-fashioned football is giving away some autographed NFL merch. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/offcontest. OFF contest to enter today. Yes, sir. We're back with another edition of the NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. No me, no the real, no the real, no the guy. It's me, really Ro, villain Ro. It's Ro from Virginia here at your service. Man. In a season where the Warriors disappoint, I don't think that game could have gone any worse. And yet, some foresaw this like a vision. Like a visionary into a crystal ball, and they said he was done. They said it was over. They said that he would never rise up out the ashes, and he did for about a month. Scott Studio Rice Show. Scott, what's going on?
Scotty, beam me up.
Surprise.
Yeah, I had a great day yesterday. Not even talking about bets. I just mean for actual narratives. I feel like every player that I was low on for the last couple of years was awful last night, and it feels great. It feels great that on the biggest stage, I had a lot of agendas on this podcast, and it worked out pretty well. So I can get into, I'll tell you what, which game do you want me to talk about first?
Man, I saw you post the Ingram and the CJ narrative, but I just feel like that's like, yes, you said that stuff, but that's not like the narrative. People know you as the Clay hater. Yep. You berate Clay every single chance you could. This is your opportunity. Forget anything about the Pelicans game. You get your opportunity with Clay.
Yeah, I think the main point for the Pelicans was that I was trying to say they should basically blow up the team a while back, because I don't think this big three is actually a big three at all. And we kind of saw that unfold. Having said that, Ingram getting benched is kind of crazy, but we can talk about that in a second. Clay, in October 2022, it was the first game of the season they played Phoenix. And I tweeted out that Clay is the most overrated player in the entire league, and that people are still judging him based on past successes. And ever since he got injured multiple times, he's not the same guy. We're here about a year and a half later, and Clay was awful. In fact, he played the worst game he could possibly play in an elimination game because he didn't score a point. He went 0 for 10. He went 0 for 6 from 3, and he couldn't guard anybody the entire game. If you were actually deep diving into the slow motion aspect of some possessions for Sacramento, you saw that Clay was getting cooked on almost every possession. I'm going to read off Clay's last couple elimination games. I tweeted it out, but Clay had the reputation Game 6 Clay, where he would have these monster playoff games, and how he was the guy who you could expect to show up in these basically win-or-go-home situations. So Clay's last four elimination games. I'm going to start off with Game 7 against the Kings last year. 4 for 19, 2 of 10 from 3. Game 5 against the Lakers, 3 for 12, 2 of 6 from 3. Game 6 against the Lakers, the game they actually lost, 3 of 19 from the floor, 2 of 12 from 3. Play-in game yesterday, 0 of 10 from the floor, 0 of 6 from 3. Clay's not even good in big games anymore, so I don't know what he actually does for your team. I am aware that in the regular season, he had a decent month when Chris Paul came back. He had a decent month off the bench, and I'll give him props for that. But you're looking at his defense is non-existent. He can't move laterally anymore. You look at his shooting. He is not as great of a shooter as he used to be. Not even close. The shot selection is always terrible. We know Clay's going to shoot it as soon as he gets the ball. Can he create his own shot off the dribble? No. I think we all remember the game where Clay scored about 60 against Chicago. He took about four dribbles in the entire game. He's never been known for creating off the dribble. I don't know what he does on this team. And now you hear all the post-game quotes from Kerr and from Draymond saying we need Klay back. Now, I don't know how much of that is genuine and how much of that is not roasting your guy to the press right after a game, and maybe you'll handle it all behind the scenes. There is no way Klay should come back for this team. There is no way you can bring Klay back based on what's happened over the last year or two. There are rumors Orlando might pay him a bunch of money. Whichever team pays him a bunch of money is an absolute sucker at this point in his career. It's just insane how much value people think he has on the market. I think one team or a couple will be interested, but if you pay him more than basically a mid-level exception, I don't know what the hell you're doing. He's not worth all this money you think he's worth. He's an average at best player at this point, and he's probably worse than that, if you want to be honest, because he doesn't guard anybody, and he thinks in his own mind that he's still in 2017, and he's going to keep chucking up bad shots. So, once again, am I harsh on Klay? I am. Because I was willing to at least see what he has become, and people were in denial. And I'm trying to like wake people up to the reality that Klay's not very good anymore. I'll end it on that note.
The NFL draft is just around the corner, and old-fashioned football is giving away some autographed merch to celebrate. JSN, Travis Etienne, J.K. Dobbins, Frank Gore. Oh, what? They got a Frank Gore autograph?
Old-fashioned football. That was a bar. JSN, Travis Etienne. That was kind of a bar there. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but that was well done.
Hey, you know, some solid writers over here. We got people
that was good. That was good.
Some solid writers here. Old-fashioned football, come for the football, stay for the whiskey. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/off-contest. That's OFF contest. Oh, man. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't really have anything else to add to the Klay debacle. I really don't have anything else to add.
We'll end it on this note. I'll ask you this question. Regardless of your opinion on Klay, I'm assuming you agree his time in Golden State's probably over, regardless of what the comments were post-game. He's probably done, right?
No. Because Golden State is loyal to a fault.
Okay.
Golden State is loyal to their own fault. So he probably will. I won't be surprised if he ends up staying and Golden State continues not to win because Golden State is loyal to a fault. Like, I just don't. I will see it when I believe it, because anybody else, if this was any other team in the league, I'd be like, yeah, Klay's gone. But Golden State is way too loyal. I think they'll actually keep him and they'll probably just let him sit on the bench.
Okay.
And it'll bruise his ego. When, you know, Pajemski's playing 30 minutes a game, Kaminga's playing 30 minutes a game, the guy that they just draft that's a star already is playing, he's playing about 12, but he's going to be happy to be on the team.
Okay. I mean, it is definitely possible based on Golden State's reputation for being the most loyal team, mm-hmm. probably in sports. I'm just trying to keep it real. Klay should not be on this team anymore. But I thought this last year when they lost
he shouldn't.
The Lakers, so.
He shouldn't, but he probably will. He shouldn't, but he probably will. And he's not going to have a role. I think that's what it is. It's going to be like Vince Carter. Vince Carter on the Hawks. That's going
to
be
crazy. At least he bounced to like 7 different teams, though, at the end. Like, he was like, no team was keeping him as like damaged goods at this point. He was jumping around. He's on the Grizzlies.
I got one more in me.
Hawks. Yeah. I
got one more in me. Yeah. All right, man. Let's talk about some.
Sorry. I just want to add one thing. It's on the Pelicans game, one thing. It's just a quick point. I feel bad for Zion. Good win for the Lakers.
I don't.
I thought the punting thing was nonsense, that they were going to lose the game on purpose. That was a bunch of nonsense. Good win for the Lakers. They choked away a massive lead. They held on at the end. Zion, I know that he's had weight issues in the past and he can't stay healthy. You get injured in the middle of a 40-piece with 3 minutes to go in an elimination in a play-in game. That sucks. Zion was phenomenal. None of his teammates showed up yesterday besides Alvarado. And fourth quarter, Trey Murphy was pretty good. He was not very good for the first three quarters. Ingram sucked, and he got benched for the last 8 minutes. McCollum was terrible. Zion tried to carry that entire damn team, and his body gave up on him. And it sucks. And I know we're not surprised by it. We've seen this happen in years past. I just want to point out it's extremely unfortunate because Zion was in the middle of a masterclass game. And it sucks. That's the last point I'll make.
All right. Y'all hear the kids in the background?
No.
Can you? Oh, great.
I didn't hear anything.
Because they are loud. Oh, great. They are loud. They are loud. They are loud. They are loud. I'm in the bunker. I'm in the bunker trying to get this episode out. Yeah. My fault. Look, I'm not Caney. But, yeah. Oh, yeah. Pelicans. And so here's the thing with Zion. You reap what you sow, man. You reap what you sow. You had bad energy. You had bad energy around you all year, man. All year. And it came back to bite in the worst situation. It's been bad energy around all year. So I hate it for him, too. That was an amazing game. And I actually thought the run was going to stop at some point. And, like, he's going to cool down. And, no, he didn't cool down. He actually got hotter, hotter, hotter until he ended up with 40. So now they have a situation. Because now everybody else has to step up. You have the New Orleans Pelicans welcoming the Sacramento Kings for the last play-in game on the West. Kings are catching one. Or is it a... No, so it opened up New Orleans minus two. It's down to a pick. We have 216 is total. That opened up at 218 and a half, I see here. So Zion is the big injury news. We'll see if Zion plays. It doesn't. I mean, we don't know. We really don't know. Maybe he'll be ready to go, but maybe not. Is there any way you're taking New Orleans?
The only thing that I would consider would be that, historically speaking, home teams have actually done very well in the play-in games. And I believe a 10 seed... Well, now, I don't know if it matters because technically the Kings are a 9. I know a 10 seed's never made it into the playoffs. I'm not sure how many times a 9 seed's actually made it in. I'm not sure if they've actually ever made it in. I don't have that in front of me. But I know home teams have tended to do well in the play-in games. And you're looking at New Orleans being 5-0 against Sacramento. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the main argument for New Orleans. Now, I am still scared because Zion, I think we agree, is not going to play. They said it was soreness at the time. It was clearly a hamstring. Clearly. And that got reported by Shams after the game. I think it was in the middle of the Warriors game, or like right when that game was ending. They said, oh, yeah, Zion hurt his hamstring again. And we're like, oh, that means he's clearly going to be out for like a week or two. So he's going to miss this game. Yeah. I'd be shocked if he played. If he did, I'll fade him. He's going to walk out there like Willis Reed. Like, he can't move. It is what it is. Like, it's unfortunate, but he's had hamstring issues in the past. I think he's going to sit. So then the question becomes, if Zion is the main threat for your team, because we know the Kings don't exactly have anybody based on size and quickness to actually stay with Zion. So if he's not going to be available, do you trust CJ McCollum after whatever the hell that was yesterday? And do you trust Brandon Ingram after he got benched? Because those are going to be your main two guys. And Alvarado got hurt, too. Alvarado was great. He was crawling in the fourth quarter because he basically hurt both of his legs. And he still played great, but he got banged up. So he got banged up. Ingram's been rushed back from injury, and he got benched. And McCollum was terrible, and now Zion's hurt. So this team is kind of an infirmary right now where I think I have to lean Sacramento. I know they're 0-5 against this team, but no Zion really changes a lot for what the Pelicans want to do. And we saw it in that game against the Lakers. It felt like nobody showed up for the game for the first 2.5 quarters. Zion did basically everything. Murphy hit a big 2-for-1 3 from like 35 feet. That kind of got him going. And Alvarado was great. I didn't think anybody else really did much in the game. So I think I'm going to lean Sacramento. Maybe they've lost 5 straight, but it's very difficult to beat a team 6 times in a row. I'm joking. But still, I'm going to lean to the Kings. I just think based on how these teams are trending and maybe the confidence level's there for Sacramento. You got revenge. You beat a team that beat you on your home floor by 20 points in Game 7 last year. Maybe they keep it rolling. And I know Monk is still out, but the Kings, even without Monk, are healthier than this current Pelicans team. I'm going to lean Kings. If the Pelicans win, I would not be shocked, but I can't back this team based on the injuries and my lack of trust for Ingram and CJ. I'll trust in Fox, and I'll trust in Sabonis.
So it's tough. To follow up the tweet that you mentioned about Zion, he did come back and say Zion walked out the arena without a limp. I don't know what that means, but without a limp. They said he looked fine when he walked out, but that doesn't mean anything. So with Zion's questionable status.
So They're going to get some tests.
With Zion's questionable status, it just feels like New Orleans is going to kick us in the dick and win this game. And I'm going to be pissed.
Because we've been
bad about New Orleans all year, and every time it looks like they don't have it at all, they pull it out their ass. Like, I don't know if I could fall into that trap in the play-in, man. This is the perfect New Orleans narrative of how we bet against them. The game prior, they looked like shit. CJ didn't look good. B.I. didn't look good. They didn't get any contributions. Matter of fact, during the regular season, Zion wasn't looking good. And then they come back out and they win the next game when we fade them.
I faded New Orleans against the Lakers and they came through for me. So thank you, New Orleans, for not covering that game. I'll ask you this, though. If you think New Orleans does find a way to win the game, what's the script? You think Ingram has a big game? CJ has a big game?
It's Ingram and CJ. It's the fact of they realize they dropped the ball and Zion's down. Ingram and CJ pick things up and they just go play their style of basketball. Ingram gets to the mid-range, tries to get to the rim. CJ finds some type of rhythm beyond the arc. And they just go on a scoring run. And they just, like, at the end of the day, there's still no depth on this Kings team.
Yeah, that's true.
So if we have a battle of stars and B.I. and CJ actually do show up for a game, then I think it's pretty interesting. And then you add what they have in Trey Murphy that can give them buckets. Alvarado did have a good game. Like, you know, they're getting other contributions, but you're not getting that from Sacramento. That starting five is all you have in Sacramento. So I see the script. I understand. Tomorrow said he had Kings plus four. If I was plus four right now, I would 100% take Kings, but it's a pick, and New Orleans really, really has been kicking our ass all year. This feels like the spot where we typically fade them and they punch us in the mouth and get a win. So I'm going New Orleans. I'm doing the opposite of what we would do in New Orleans.
It's real. It's not as easy as people want to make it out to be. I feel like most of the public will blindly be on the Kings. I feel like we also see this every year, though, where we see teams that win the 9-10 game, and then you immediately look at the loser of the 7-8, and you're like, did you see how good the 9 seed was in the other game last night? They're going to win, and they lose by 20. I feel like I've seen it for the last couple of years.
Didn't Miami lose the first game last year and then come back and dominate the second play-in game? And that's how
they did not dominate. They were trailing the Bulls with like 2 minutes to go. I was thinking of the Thunder game where the Timberwolves blew that game against the Lakers in that hideous fourth quarter. The Thunder came out and they smacked somebody, and then Minnesota killed them by like 20 or like 30 in the final play-in game. I've seen it before, but I think the injuries matter. And once again, if the Pelicans win, I would not totally be shocked. This would not be like an all-time upset. The spread's basically a pick 'em. I see the Pelicans being favored, according to ESPN bet. So the Pelicans are favored in a spot or two. I'll lean to the Kings. I just think the injuries are going to be there. And yes, you mentioned the script. Ingram and CJ could have big games. Maybe they'll carry. I still don't trust either player. I trust Fox and Sabonis more than I trust Ingram and CJ. So I'll lean to the Kings.
Oh man, it is so hard.
You have a virtual background. Family house. So
it's the good. Family house, man. It's the family house. All right, man. I was actually talking about Kaysen's point here. Are you taking Mike Brown or are you taking Willie Green?
I'm taking Mike Brown.
I think that's closer. I think that's actually closer than you think.
I think it is close. I'll put it that way.
I really think Willie Green is sabotaged in New Orleans. I'm not gonna lie. I think his roster is sabotaging him. Like they just don't live up to the expectations. But like I think everything he had, like the gameplay, everything. I think everything he has is good. I just think that you know you have CJ being a dickhead and you have BI being a dickhead.
It's fair. I'm not gonna roast Willie Green for what happened yesterday. People can argue about X's and O's. In reality, he benched Ingram because Ingram was not playing well, and they went on a run. And he decided, even when Zion got injured, people were mad at him for keeping Ingram on the bench because they didn't have enough scoring. In reality, that was the unit that got them to that point. He decided, you know what? We're going to stick with the guys. You can argue they didn't have any scoring. One Zion went out, but Alvarado kind of found some dump-off passes to Nance. You saw Murphy have a floater or two. I was okay with it. They gave him the Raptors DeRozan treatment. They gave him the Harden game six against the Clippers treatment. We're going on this run. You're on the bench. We're not going to bring you back because you're the star player. We're going to let the guys in good form, the hot hand, take over. And they almost won the game. I'm not going to get mad at Willie Green for that. Maybe you would. I'm not going to.
I think he gets it. I think he gets the best out of them for this game. And okay. Case's point, he said B.I. and Zion don't work together. I actually am kind of starting to believe that. But if that's the case, they're 100% winning this game then. Because you're not getting both of them. All right. He said the NBA doesn't want the Nuggets to repeat. What's up, Whale? What's going on, Whale? All right. Let's see here. Before we get into the – let's talk about that Nuggets series. We'll talk about it after we talk about Underdog Fantasy. NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog, wants to make sure it's so much more interesting. It's the easiest place to play fantasy sports. You can play their fantasy pick'em game and just select higher or lower on their player stats, rebounds, assists, points, even free throw attempts. Free throws made. You could do that as well. Make entries of all basketball. You could do some soccer in there. You could, hey, if it's a golf tournament, throw some golf in there. You can do all of that, and you can win up to 100 times your money. It's a ton of fun. Available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. We're going to give you an Underdog lineup at the end of the show. So maybe it might not be of the game that's happening that we're talking about, but it's going to be of an Underdog lineup for at least tonight. So we're going to give you some type of Underdog lineup at the end of the show. Put underdogfantasy.com. Underdogfantasy.com. All right. Their pick'em special for Friday playing games for 19. With the player TBD, this special should go live in the lobby and is eligible for new customers that sign up by the morning of the 18th. So you have to sign up by the morning of the 18th to get that special with a player TBD on the 19th. Make sure you use our sign-up code NBASGPN and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code NBASGPN. All right. Man, they be having all these pick'em specials, and you know they don't be telling you beforehand. Matter of fact, I think I know somebody that ain't signed up. Let me send them this code so they could tell me what this special is. All right,
at the top, by the way, still at the top of the screen.
Yep, at the top of the screen. Make sure you use it.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have another series here. Oh, and it's a rematch.
I'm getting deja vu.
And, it's technically 1-1. Yeah.
If you don't count the bubble, I think we should count it. 1-0.
All right. If we don't count the bubble, it's 1-0. If you do count the bubble, it's 1-1. All right. Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Lakers. Some dogs were going to try to get out of this. Yeah. I knew that. I said they were. Like, I was like, no.
You have to win the game.
Good teams don't tank.
You have to win the game. Yeah.
Yeah. But are they going to regret it, Scott? Are they going to regret not tanking? Because this didn't go so well last time. In fact, it ended up in a sweep last time. Jamal Murray absolutely destroyed this team, this Lakers team. did not win a game as the Nuggets moved on to the NBA Finals. Nuggets versus Lakers. Nuggets for the series price is -310 money line on the Nuggets, +250 for Los Angeles Lakers. You looking at the, let me see if I can pull up that spread. Well, I don't see the spread. I got to go somewhere else for the spread odds. But, okay, Scott, I'm just, because you, I mean, it's got to be on the spread. It has to be on the spread because -310, it's probably at 2.5 games, to be honest.
Yeah, FanDuel does not have an actual regular spread. They only have alts, so I got to pull up DraftKings. It's going to be a really juiced 1.5.
Either.
Yeah.
Okay, so I see Nuggets 1.5 -140. I see Nuggets -2.5 games at +145. We have Lakers +120 for +1.5. We have Lakers +2.5 games at -175. If you dare flip the other side of the script, Lakers -1.5 games is +370. Tomorrow says Nuggets sweep, and LeBron talks about retirement again to take the heat off. I like the play, take the heat off. Good play on words.
I'll let you go first.
Well, in the Lakers' defense, I think we all can say, while this Nuggets team is really good, it's not the same team as last year. The bench has been horrible for a good majority of the year. They have their moments, but they've been horrible for a good majority of the year. And that's going to mean something, especially in a series. So I will say, it will not be the same as last year. But do they still win? Probably, because AD's really pissing me the fuck off. So I don't know, man. The question for me is, can I trust AD in a 7-game series against the Nuggets? And I don't know if I can, because he's been pretty bad against them.
So it sounds to me like you're taking the Nuggets in either 5 or 6.
That's where I think I'm leaning. I really, really want to fade the Nuggets because, I'm really concerned about having very, very little bench contribution, but that means nothing if AD continues to show up 3 to 4 games out of this series. That literally means nothing. This is all on AD. Yeah. If AD plays well in every single game in the series, then Lakers +250 is a give. But I don't trust him to play well in every game in the series, man. And that's ridiculous.
I think we're on the same page here. The last year was a sweep, but the games were somewhat close. Most of the games were close. So it's not like the Lakers got run out of the building. Like they were in these games. The Nuggets were just better down the stretch. And that was kind of the case this year, too. In the last meeting, you might remember, the Lakers were winning a lot of that game. That was actually the game where LeBron, I think he broke 40,000 in that game. And they were winning most of it. And then the Nuggets won a massive run at the end. I don't remember if that was the last meeting or the second to last meeting, but it felt like every Lakers-Nuggets game this season was the same. The games were close, especially the last two, and then the Nuggets would go on like an 8-0 run in the final 2 minutes and the game was over. It kind of feels like that's how it's been going for the last 2 years when these teams have gone together.
Yep.
It tells me the Lakers are still in these games. I think we're on the same page, though. I think Bruce Brown was massive for this team last year because he was providing a stabilizing presence as a backup point guard, and they don't have that. You know my thoughts on Reggie Jackson. I don't think he should be in the league. I think that's how bad Reggie Jackson actually is. So I will put it this way, though. I do like Brown. I really like Peyton Watson. I think Watson defensively can be a real X factor in the series. And I do think that Aaron Gordon won't stop LeBron, but at least he has the body type to make LeBron work for it. And LeBron is older. So if you're going to make LeBron work for it, maybe he might wear down physically over the course of a series. I am taking the Nuggets. I think home court matters. But I do think the Lakers take a game or two. I do not think they get swept in back-to-back years. I think this Lakers team is good enough to take a game or two at home. I am going to take the Nuggets in 6. I think if I had to go for any value on the series, it would be Nuggets -1.5 games. That's really the only, I think, price. I think that's the only reasonable option based on price. So I'll lean to the Nuggets minus 1.5 games. But I do think if I had to go for the exact score of the series, I think it's either Nuggets in 5 or Nuggets in 6.
Okay. So I swear to God, I feel it's not the Nuggets' time. It's not their time. That bench is going to come back to bite them, but it's not now. It's not now. Yeah.
Maybe Dallas in the next round. Maybe. But I don't see the Lakers.
If I play this out in my head, I can see this going the exact game script of the Lakers getting out early in game one on the road, and then the Nuggets just playing better down the stretch, winning it in the fourth quarter. Game one goes Nuggets. Game two goes Nuggets in a blowout. Game three is where the Lakers come back home in a tightly contested game, and they finally close it out, get the win. So first play for this series, correct score after three games, Nuggets 2-1 plus 105.
That's a good deal. You just need home teams to hold serve. That's not a bad deal.
Hold serve. Just hold serve. And they're both two really good home teams. Hold serve. That's a solid deal. Plus 105 is a solid price for that. So that's the first play of this series. Nuggets 2-1 after three games, plus 105. Game four is when it gets interesting. The Nuggets have been pretty bad on the road this season, but they also have won games. Lakers are due. So Lakers, everybody holds serve up to game five. Game five is where AD could change the series, and AD just squanders and doesn't show up.
I think you
up.
Mean game four.
No. Game five on the road. It's 2-2 going back to Denver.
Oh, okay.
So this is how I have it. 2-2. Lakers got it done in that fourth game. 2-2 going back to Denver. AD has a chance to play well here, and he doesn't. He folds again. They lose that one, and then it's over. Denver closes out. As much as I want the Lakers to win that home game, they don't. Denver closes out on the road, and they shut me up because I'm probably going to bet Lakers in that spot, and they're going to win it and close me up and shut me up. So, yeah, Nuggets in 6. You take the minus 1.5 on the game spread. It's Nuggets in 6. As much as I would really love to see the Lakers happen here, I'm not flipping the Lakers until I can see that AD can consistently play in this series. Like, that's it. I can't bet anything Lakers until I know that AD can consistently play in the series. So if I get down on the Lakers, it'll be a live bet as the series goes on, and I'll probably just flip my horse that says, nah, AD good through two games. I think that they're going to be able to get it done. But
yeah,
that's frustrating that he's such a great player, but he just does not play well against this team.
Even yesterday, AD was really bad early in that game, and you looked up and he somehow had 20-15. I don't remember him having 20-15, but he had 20-15 apparently. He had a couple big offensive rebounds at the end against Nance Jr.
I realized I misspoke before. That last night. He didn't look that good. Like, it's just, and that's frustrating because he's really what they need. He's what they need. If AD was out here being AD and we knew we was getting a consistent 30 and 12, 13, whatever AD's defensively he's going out. Oh, man, this is an easy win. This is an easy dog that you cash. But he doesn't do it against his team. So why do we trust him now?
Yeah, I do also want to point out, I actually made a mistake before. I misspoke. I said I did not think the lack of depth would hurt in this series, but it would hurt in the next series against Dallas. I messed that up. I forgot that Denver's the 2 seed now. So they might be able to get past Phoenix or Minnesota. Dallas would be in the Western Conference Finals. I forgot what seed Denver was. Apologies. So not Dallas now. Maybe Dallas later. That'll matter. Maybe Phoenix it'll matter. Who knows? Phoenix kind of done decently against that team in the regular season. But at the end of the day, we saw the Lakers almost blow. What were they up, 20? What?
Oh, yeah, they did. They was up 20, almost blew that.
Like, am I supposed to suddenly like this team because I watched them almost blow? They got bailed out by Zion getting injured. They were up 20. The game was over. Ingram got benched. McCollum was god-awful. And you still almost blew a 20-point lead to Jose Alvarado and Zion? and a little bit of Trey Murphy in there. Like, I'm not going to overreact to what happened last game. The Lakers are still not able to play a full 48 minutes. And I can't pick you to beat the defending champions if you're going to take minutes off. And every time LeBron goes to the bench, you get buried. And that's usually what happens. So I think if worst case scenario, Denver has their back up against the wall, maybe they're even down in the series. Who knows? At some point, Jokic and Murray might play 44-plus minutes in a game. And if that happens and you tell Reggie Jackson, stay on the bench, we're going to use our guys the entire game, I don't think the Lakers are winning. That's the break in case of emergency option. Jokic and Murray play almost every minute, and I think that's enough to get by. You agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Because if they played all the starters all the minutes, they're going to win this series.
Can rotate and watch.
That would eliminate my one concern.
Yeah.
That would eliminate my one concern. All right.
So we both have Nuggets in six. Is that what's happening right now? You have Nuggets in five?
Yeah.
Six?
So we're both on the over 5.5 games, -140. What else we got out there? We both have correct score to be Nuggets 4-2.
You have the correct score three games.
425? That's +425?
Well, because that involves them winning on the road in game six. So most people will probably have 5 or 7.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, so Nuggets 4-1 is +285. Nuggets 4-3 is +340. Nuggets 4-2 is +425. And then the Nuggets sweep is 5-1.
I don't mind 425.
That 425 isn't. Yeah, I'm gonna get a. I'm having a piece of that 425 right there as well.
And you forgot to mention, by the way, you have a series correct score 2-1 after three games at +105.
Yep. Thank you, man.
Which I love. That's a good play.
A lot of bets. That yeah, I do. I do. It's a very nice play. All right. Is that it for us? That's it.
I don't think there's anything else. I was trying to find.
Your finals prediction?
I did. I ended up going chalk. I had the Nuggets beating the Celtics. I went chalk. I know. I don't like the Celtics, but I'm looking at the East, and I don't like any of these teams. So I ended up leaning Boston. But if they lose, I'll
That's hard.
I'll be the first person to I'll be willing to sabotage my own finals pick to laugh at Boston. If they lose to the 8th seed, I'm going to be laughing my ass off for probably like 2 weeks. But
hey,
we'll
man.
See what happens.
Hey, man. I want Miami. So even though, again, I've said and I've told you I'm on Philly this entire playoff run, I would love for Miami to win today. Because if Philly takes the 8 and they have to play Boston, and Boston loses to Philly, oh my gosh. That's like the ultimate victory lap of all time. Like,
yeah, it's a dream come true
know.
For you.
It's literally a wet dream. All right.
Oh, I was
Let's
going to say,
see
I was,
here,
I was,
Scott.
Trying to find
oh, yeah, what's up?
I was looking for Joker to average a triple-double in the series because he averaged it last year. I couldn't find it. If I could find prop available, I would take it, but I can't find it.
I think they'll have some maybe closer to actual series start time, but because they had them last year, so hopefully they have some backup.
I'm just saying right now I didn't see it, but I would take Joker to average a triple-double. By the way, game one, if anyone was curious, is on Saturday. Nuggets are -7 in game one. It's on Saturday.
Sheesh. All right. So. Let's go ahead and give a lock and dog pick for the playing game, and then let's do a series lock, a series bet, because we have a bunch of plus money stuff, so we'll do some type of series bet as well, and we'll drop an underdog lineup real quick. So going back to the playing game, wrong one, that's the wrong playing game.
I'm gonna see if they have even props up. They might be waiting for Zion. So I'm going to have to see if they have.
Yeah, I think that it really might be. It might not even be in props up. Let me see. No, I don't see anything.
That might be why we skip player props during the game breakdown, by the way. It's because we were looking and we didn't see much. I see two players. I see Fox and Sabonis. So that's all we got.
That's it. Everywhere. It's just Fox and Sabonis. Yep. All right, we're just going to give out one play from that. And if I had to make a play... Give me Sacramento team total under.
Okay. Just going to ride the winner-go-home unders because they've been doing very well so far?
Yep. Yep. Okay. Sacramento team total under. Going on the road after that game. Minus 118 at minus 108.5. It's minus 118 and it's under 108.5. And this is really just fading this team. One, they're beat up. They don't have a bench either. They're playing all the stars, all the minutes. And at this point, I think that defensively, this is now where the Pelicans step up. You're going to see a lot more Jose Alvarado. You're going to see some more Dyson Daniels. Like, you're going to see some more of these better defenders of this team. Herb Jones is still out there. This is a good defensive team for the Pelicans, especially when they're at home. And I think this is a letdown spot for the Kings. And this is also me just fading my original Pelicans take of I normally would actually back the Kings in this game, but because it's the Pelicans, they always do the opposite of what I would do. So now I'm doing the opposite of what I would do. Kings, team total under 108.5, minus 118.
All right. For my play on the game, I actually have to wait and see what the three-point line is going to be. I really like Trey Murphy in this game. I got to figure out which prop I want to take. It's either going to be points or it's going to be threes. Do you think Murphy would be a 2.5 threes or 3.5 threes?
Three and a half with plus money.
Probably. So it'd be that would be my guess too. The reason why I'm asking is because Murphy's had at least three made 3-pointers in 7 straight games against the Kings, which is why I'm bringing it up. He had 27 points in the last game they had, and I think it was the final week of the regular season where he had 27. I think he's going to play a ton of minutes. He played 45 minutes in the last game against the Kings, and now Zion might not play. I love Trey Murphy. I think he's a really, really good shooter, and I think that he's in one for a good game. So if you're asking who I think steps up for the Pelicans with Zion being out, I'm not going near Ingram. I'm not going near McCollum. Give me Trey Murphy to have a big game. So maybe I'll end up going with points or threes. I think he hits 4+ threes, so... Give me the over 3.5 made threes for Trey Murphy at whatever price it's going to be, probably plus money.
All right. For the Nuggets and the Lakers series. Oh, man. I mean, that plus 105 bet is a really good bet, man. That correct score after 3 games. I think that's a really good bet, but I kind of want some, I really want to throw some value out in this one.
Okay. So you got Nuggets in 6. Define value. You want Lakers plus 2.5 games?
What if the Lakers completely squander again, though, man?
I mean, it wouldn't shock me. We saw them squander a 20-point lead against New Orleans team that was benching its second-best player. Wouldn't shock me. But... Oh.
Nah, I'm just going to go. All right, I'm just take the 105. I'm just take plus 105. Give me plus 105, correct score. After 3 games, Denver 2-1, all the home teams hold serve.
Okay. And for the record, you don't even need all the home teams to hold serve because if they split road wins, you still win. So
yep,
you have that in your back pocket too.
All right, what's your taking?
Yeah, for my Lakers series, I think I'm just going to go with the over at 5.5 games. I honestly see this being a longer series. The Lakers can potentially blow a massive lead. They're going to get outplayed in crunch time every game, even in the Pelicans game. They got a little bit fortunate on some offensive rebounds. They double-teamed LeBron. D'Lo hit a monster 3 in the corner. It looked like they were on the verge of punting another game in Laker fashion, and they ended up holding on to win at the end. But Zion getting injured helped. So maybe they'll blow a game or two that they should win at the end to the Nuggets. But I do think the series will be closer than last year's. I think that the Nuggets are a weaker team. I still think Reggie Jackson's going to get minutes early in the series. And then they're going to realize what the hell are we doing? And they're going to bench Reggie Jackson halfway through the series. That's kind of my hot take coaching adjustment. I think Reggie Jackson's going to play. And then Malone's going to say, what the hell are we doing? And then he's just not going to play Jackson in the last couple games and they'll end up winning. Give me the over 5.5 games at minus 140. It's a bit steep, but I do think the Lakers, in the games that AD shows up in, might not be many games, but the games that they show up in, I think they should win. So give me a competitive series. If Denver would hypothetically win the series in 7, I would not totally be shocked. I think it should be a fun series. I don't see another sweep. Maybe the Nuggets win in 5. I'll take my chances. Give me a fun back and forth series with two very good home teams. Give me the over 5.5 games at minus 140.
All right. Underdog. Let's do it for the game tonight. What do we?
I
like
did one
tonight,
with not for the game tonight already, but we can do another one if you want.
It's okay. Yeah. Hey, we can never have too few.
That is true.
We cannot have too few. What did y'all play tonight? Do you remember what y'all played?
I'm trying to remember what the options were because Underdog was missing some options. We had DeRozan lower than half a block because we got tired of looking at all the other props and we picked something. We had, I don't remember the other ones that we had. Did we take Kobe White in the end? I don't remember what was available. I know I liked Bogdan threes, which I think was at a flat 3 for Underdog. And I'm trying to remember what the last one was. But I know for a fact those were.
Yeah, it is at a flat 3.
I think it might have been Kobe White threes at like 2.5. I think those were the three plays. I don't exactly remember, to be honest. It's in the last episode, but I think it was Kobe White 2.5 threes higher, Bogdan higher 3 threes, and DeRozan a lower half a block. I think those were the three plays that we had.
All right. Well, let's find some different.
We were missing a lot of lines on the day today. We probably have more options.
Oh, we have everything now, so we're good. You don't have to worry about that. We have everything. All right, Air Jordan, keep it simple.
Do you think the line's too high?
In Philly. 35 PRA.
All the numbers for him are inflated, though. Like, that's kind of the problem you run into. Since Rozier's out, by the way, his neck's officially bothering him. Are we pivoting to Hero? Yeah. Do you see any Hawkes lines? I wanted Hawkes in the last one, and we didn't have lines on him. I think Hawkes plays a decent amount.
Yeah, we got Hawkes. We have Hawkes lines. You know, I'm always
hanging out. He was good down the stretch.
I'm always sick. All right, so as soon as my app wants to read, there we go. So we'll go Amy Hawkes. What? 6.5 points?
He played in the last couple games. By the way, I remembered it was not Kobe White threes. We threw in Embiid lower 5 assists. That was what we had. Lower 5 assists, Bogdan 3 threes higher, and we had DeRozan lower half a block. That was the entry from
yesterday. I wish we had Embiid free throws made. Dang. That's the
I'll probably actually bet on Hawkes points. Forget about the actual underdog. I mean, in general, 6.5 is way too low, especially with no Rozier. I think Hawkes plays 20-plus minutes tonight.
Way too low. All right, Amy Hawkes, 6.5. Where else are we going?
If you want Air Jordan, I'm not going to stop you, but all his numbers are inflated, and I think you'd agree.
Yeah, no, I definitely wasn't interested in 23.5 points. But the PRA is tempting. The PRA is tempting.
Okay, I thought about maybe rebounds or assists. We know we don't trust Bam to rebound.
They're both at 5.5.
I don't mind the rebounds.
They're both at 5.5. I can
go rebounds.
I can do that. All right, Air Jordan rebounds higher 5.5. We're locked in. All right,
and then probably something for the Hawks game. Do you want Trey, I guess? DeJounte? Is Trey going back to agreement? Ball hogging?
I don't.
That game's so bad.
I kind of want to just.
That game might not be worth our time, to be honest.
What has DeJounte Murray been doing since Trey been back in the lineup? Did Trey completely sabotage him?
I know Trey's assists have been decent, so I think DeJounte's points have actually been okay. But let me quickly see. DeJounte, 23.5. All right, so Trey came back for the Minnesota game, right?
Was it Minnesota or was it Miami?
I think it was Minnesota.
It was...
Pretty sure it was Minnesota.
Okay, so he came back from Minnesota, yeah.
Because Trey came back for the Charlotte game, but DeJounte didn't play. So that's why I'm not counting it. But he had 12 against Minnesota, and he had 32 against the Pacers, but they gave up 157 points. I don't know if I can actually read into the season finale. That game was just a scrimmage. Like, I don't know if that counts. So... You want to go Trey assists?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I really hate Hawks. Yeah, we can go Trey assists. It makes sense. All right. So, boom. Let's lock that in, Trey. I don't know why this is 10.5.
Okay. Do you want to pivot off of that? Or do you want to stay with it? We can find another play in this game if you want it. It's fine.
Yeah, Trey, I don't trust Trey. I just don't.
If it was a 9.5, I'd be fine with it. 10.5, it's a lot for a playoff game. Or play-in game, whatever.
All right, so I really like that Bogdan play. But I don't want to,
You want to double? We can double down. That was my favorite play from that game. It was a flat 3, but historically he's been phenomenal against Chicago.
Yes.
So yeah, we can double down on that.
Yeah, we're stealing Bogdan. We're stealing Bogdan. Okay. That's gonna hit.
That's fine.
There we go. I feel way better about that. There was a little anxiety. All right, Amy Akes higher 6.5 points. Jimmy Butler higher 5.5 rebounds. Bogdan Bogdanovic higher 3.3 three-pointers made. That sounded like a lot. 6-1. 6-1 is the play there. All right, make sure you use that promo code NBASGPN at Underdog Fantasy. You get 100% deposit bonus up to $100. Scott, anything else for people before we get up out of here?
Yeah, I was looking at Hawkes' lines, and I think I have to play the 6.5 because he had 20 points and 18 points in his last two games, played 32-plus minutes. That Hawkes line is drunk. That's a really
escalators, 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 escalators.
Hopefully no eels. Hopefully no eels, but I'm telling you, 6.5
no
is too low.
Eels. No,
six
this
and a half is too low based on what
this
he did.
This is not SpongeBob. Cool. This is a Patrick role. This is not a SpongeBob role. Escalators.
Yes, it is. Escalator.
All right. If you haven't already, make sure you like, comment, subscribe. Make sure you do all of that. Leave us a 5-star rating review wherever you get your podcast. And we're going to be back tomorrow for this same episode, except East version. Same thing.
The Bizarro version. East version. Yeah.
So, we'll see. Hey, man. Philly on the money line. Heat cover the spread. That's how I'm betting Philly today, Scott. Philly on the money line, but the Heat cover spread. I get both of the system plays in one. All right. I have nothing else to say. Nothing else to do. No other way of ending podcasts. Not another Clay Stray at the end of the show. No other way of ending the podcast. Just going to end it like this. We are out of here.